New ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. Today, I'm interviewing Jamie Stenziano, the Vice President of Media and Entertainment Research for Clarion Research. Jamie oversees custom studies to uncover the whys behind audience and fan attitudes and behaviors. Media companies, agencies, and brands call on him to explore and consult on strategic growth areas, including streaming, OTT platforms, millennial and Gen Z audiences, experiential activations, and trade marketing. His work and perspectives have been featured in a variety of outlets, including the American Marketing Association, Green Book, and Survey Magazine. He worked on Clarion's Ogilvy Award-winning qual research for FCB's U.S. Census campaign and has managed several of Clarion's most complex studies, including the multi-year Barclays Center Attendee Transportation Management Project. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Gabriella. Thanks for having me.
For people who aren't familiar with Clarion, can you tell me a bit about your firm, what you do, and why you're different from other research firms?
Absolutely. Clarion is a custom insights consultancy. We use research and data to tell stories about brands, tell stories about their products, and oftentimes their audiences as well. We have several different practice areas at Clarion. I'm the SVP of Media and Entertainment Insights, so I lead the work we do on behalf of media companies, entertainment brands, and their partners, whether that's developing and testing content, delivering insights about audiences, conducting live event or experiential types of research, developing campaigns and ad effectiveness programs, or developing streaming services. And one of the things that I think will be relevant to our conversation today is the work we do on behalf of media brands, actually conducting research with agency buyers and marketing clients. We have a product called Clarion Advertiser Intelligence, which is a really different way of taking the pulse on media brands in the eyes of their agency or brand partners.
Exactly. You actually jumped to sort of read my mind. Exactly. I was going to ask you, you know, say we're heading into upfront season, and for listeners who may not be aware what that is, it's where the networks sell their ad time up front. And when doing this, they're presenting their materials not to their viewing consumers, but to agency folks, right? Who else is the audience that is consuming these presentations?
There are a few important audiences that the media brands reach during the upfront period, which is actually coming up pretty quickly in the spring. The primary audience is the advertising agency or media agency buyers or investment folks who make the decisions around commercial placement as well as other integrated partnerships with the media brands themselves. The media brands also highlight this to journalists in the media industry trade publication circuit, as well as sort of the industry as a whole, to position themselves and sort of highlight their offerings and what's new and interesting about them moving forward.
So they've just had the TCA the beginning of the year, and then as far as journalists go, they're tweaking the information in upfront. How different is it from TCA to upfront?
Well, I think it's a little bit different from a positioning perspective. What the media brands are really focused on in the next coming weeks is to highlight their offerings coming into a period where a lot of media and advertising agencies commit to year-long deals with the media brands that that can encompass TV activations as well as integrated digital and social partnerships as well. So it's really to put their offerings up in lights to the agency audience, and in a way that positions them in a favorable light going into those negotiation periods later on in the summer.
Right. So right now, then, sort of the strategy and planning phase, I guess it's actually a little late for the strategy and planning phase. I think that would have happened sort of December timeframe, right? What would you say are given the disruption in that's rocking the industry right now, what are general points of emphasis that you would anticipate seeing in upfronts this year?
Well, I think going back to last year, there was a lot of conversation from the larger media brand portfolios around premium content. That was a big sort of pillar of the upfront period last year, as well as measurement and data. That can take a number of different forms. That's a conversation that we're really plugged into here at Clarion. And the narrative there is to deliver at the end of the day an ROI to their agency partners that encompasses not only the effectiveness of the sort of the volumetrics of the audience that the media brands are reaching through TV and other media channels, but also connecting the dots to the return on investment at the end of the day for a specific audience in particular. You'll hear terms like audience targeting. A lot of media brands have developed in-house audience targeting capabilities where they actually can give a really deep lens into the delivery of a particular campaign. If it's an auto, for example, the propensity to engage with a particular auto brand or even by very thin slices of an audience, get to a deeper level of granularity around who it is that's actually consuming their client's content. And I think we're going to see that evolve even further down the road this year when we hear from some of the brands that are really positioning themselves in this space.
Hmm. Interesting. One of the things we're studying at Anatomy is the way consumers are feeling about network brands versus program brands and how they're responding. And we're seeing a real decline in the meaningfulness of network brands to viewers, certainly young millennial viewers. However, I know that in the upfront, we're not really targeting viewers, we're targeting advertisers. And I'm curious if the network anthem, the network brand still has meaning in place in that population that it may not have for the viewing population.
Yeah, it's a great question. And let me parse this out a little bit between sort of the advertiser community and the viewers or the consumers. I think, from a consumer perspective, we hear every day that content is king, and I don't think that's wrong. But I do think that certain properties do a really, really good job of overlaying brand on top of their content to create stickiness, to create a sort of brand loyalty that is difficult to achieve in an environment where viewers and consumers have so much choice across so many platforms and really when they want it, where they want it, and how they want it. So I think it does elevate a media property's ability to create that stickiness, but I do think that it might be a little less important than it has been in the past. When we think about the advertiser community, it's a different conversation, but there are elements that parallel the consumer piece of it. So an advertiser does have extreme choice when they go to activate, whether that's on TV, whether that's integrating with digital, whether it's integrating on social. So for an advertiser, they're looking for properties that, on the agency side at least, they can sell through to their clients in a meaningful way and in a differentiating way. So tying this back to the upfront, what I think is really powerful is when either at the network level or at the parent company level, a property can stand out from the clutter, can stand out from the 150, 200 in agency presentations that buyers see over the course of a few months. Properties that can stand out well, citing differentiating qualities, can be more top of mind or when buyers go to sell those properties through to their clients.
Right, right. What dynamics do you anticipate? There's always a lot of noise around, this is the year that digital will surpass television, and then there'll always be another article, which is, people are still watching TV, and it's still the only way you really get an engaged viewer. 3 seconds, does that count for anything? Bots are viewing everything digitally. There's a lot of back and forth, and what's relevant, what's not relevant. What do you think we're going to have in terms of a dynamic around that? And then also the flip side is, are you involved with looking at new fronts, which really are those digital properties?
Absolutely. So let's take the the TV versus digital piece of this conversation first. And this is something that we hear loud and clear every day in the trade publications, and it's obviously a hot topic. As the upfront progresses this year, I don't think TV is going away anytime soon. There are a lot of reasons behind that, but I think the dollars will still go to TV. I think that the lens through which buyers and their marketing clients consider and allocate is changing, and I think it will change in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. Their choices are more versatile than ever. They want to position themselves in different ways to reach their audiences and more fine compositions within those audiences. So I think the mix overall will continue to evolve, but I think it's in a natural way. And I don't think, TV is going anywhere anytime soon, for that matter. And this is a long game. And I think a lot of the noise that we hear, in the news and elsewhere, is a little overblown, at least for the foreseeable future.
Right. Well, I suppose you have to plan for the future, but for today, it's still, I don't think you can beat the engagement of television, really, in terms of ability to engage with an advertisement. What do you think, though, are the challenges facing media brands as you're right, there are all of these upfronts. You have, all of these marketing people, and they're all seeing the flash bang, things. What do you think are challenges in terms of the overall landscape, and then just in terms of the consumer of upfronts and their fatigue in consuming upfronts, if that makes sense?
Absolutely. And you touched on it a little bit earlier. There are extended periods of time where different media brands are now coming to the table and positioning to advertisers during what was traditionally reserved for TV brands and legacy media brands specifically. Now we're encountering new fronts where for a week's period in time in May, close to the upfronts themselves, digital properties are now highlighting their offerings in the same way that legacy players have been, have been doing in the past and still are. There are even events called live fronts, where live video producers and live video agencies are coming together to highlight their offerings. Viacom even did a data front recently, where they had agencies and their clients in to talk about their audience targeting capabilities and their advanced measuring capabilities. So the upfront, as we've known it to be over the past several years, I think, is really, not going anywhere. And in fact, it from one perspective, you could make the case that it's actually getting larger when you take into account all of the different types of media brands that are interested in participating in a meaningful way.
Right. Well, it's funny. It's sort of like the Watergate-ification of language, that they're just tacking on the front to everything as a moniker to say we're selling ad time. And certainly you did manage to touch on something that periodically we'll also see in the trades, which is upfronts are going away. It always seems like they say that, and yet they still happen. However, 5 years from now, do you think we're going to be seeing an upfront? I mean, if we're at CES and we see the Internet of Things and it's coming down the pike, and that's sort of a closed loop advertising circle right there, what kind of a horizon is there, do you think, for that kind of, what kind of disruption will that play, and when would you see that intersecting in a real meaningful way?
It's a great question. When is tough? It's a very tough question. But what I will say is this. I think that regardless of whether they're called upfronts, new fronts, live fronts, whether the word front is there or removed is to be determined. But I think the bottom line is that as long as media brands have the ability to capture the attention of agencies and their end marketer clients, there will be activations against that attention. Whatever form that takes in whatever seasonality, time period, activation, whatever form it takes, as long as the attention of the agency and the brand side marketer is there, media brands will continue to activate against that attention. And so what that looks like is an interesting question. It's hard for I think any of us to say, but the game is attention. And as long as, you know, media brands can capture that at scale as they do now, during upfronts, new fronts, et cetera, I think there will be some form of it as long as that attention is there.
That's really, it's interesting. I was speaking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about Amazon versus a more traditional media company. And I was saying, you know, Amazon is in many ways, you just can't predict what they're going to do because they are in the delivery business, in the consumer products business. And yet what they can do with regard to entertainment can be wildly different, can be motivated in different ways than a pure play entertainment player. And they said, yes, well, pure play entertainment, they're really in the audience business. And I think that's exactly what you're driving at, is delivering the audience and the ability to activate for these marketers is what it's all about. What is the top of mind for an attendee to an upfront? Let's, you know, find all the brands are saying, me, look at my great data capabilities, I'm awesome. But if you are, describe who is the attendee, who are they selling to? They have a kind of a somewhat predictable profile, right?
Absolutely. If I were attending an upfront as let's say a media agency buyer, I would be looking for differentiation. There are, like I said, there are so many players out there. There are so many brands that are knocking on my door for this, several month period, multiple times a day. I'm taking meetings at my agency. I'm going to offsites. I'm going to events. And what I'm looking for is differentiation for the greater good of the account that I work on and the client that I serve. And so the more I can find that, I think the more top of mind a media brand would be to me. And so that's kind of my my lens into that question as a media buyer. It's all about differentiation. If you're giving me as a media brand differentiation, you get my attention as a buyer in return, and maybe that will make you more top of mind in my consideration process.
Does differentiation mean? Does it mean the same thing for everybody?
Not necessarily. It can be differentiation from a content perspective, differentiation from an ad experience perspective. That's actually something that we haven't touched on yet, which I think is another trend that we're seeing. Media brands changing the ways that they serve their clients' messages to their viewers or to the consumers. Commercial formats from a TV perspective are changing. Different media brands are out in the marketplace talking about that. And so whether it's differentiation or innovation from that perspective, differentiation from a data perspective, who can get the most granular, who can connect the dots between ad or message consumption and the call to action of the campaign. I think that's super important. It's easier for some categories than others to accomplish that. And I think media brands that can do that at scale will be really much more top of mind and perceived as favorable by the media buyer.
Right. Now, the media buyer also, so that's sort of the job target, what they care about in that sense, but they also are viewing all of their requirements through the lens of their own demographics and their own profile. And certainly when we're talking about customers and viewers, we talk a lot about millennials. But these marketers are largely millennials, are they not?
There is a pretty sizable slice of the pie from especially on the agency side, I would say that fall into the millennial generation, depending on how one defines that. A lot of people have different ways bookending that from an age perspective. But I think the key is to appeal to buyers in a way that transcends their own personal consumption of media. And I think that's really important to communicate for any media brand, whether it's selling their solutions to a millennial aged marketer or maybe a Gen X or a boomer. It's really about tearing down the walls of personal media consumption to communicate your value proposition.
It's interesting because I think that a lot of brands who their viewing audience isn't millennial sometimes need to remember that the audience of their channel isn't the same as the audience of their upfront in terms of musical choices or just what people are used to consuming. Because on the one hand, I agree with you, it's absolutely about what you're saying, but how you're saying it does impact how those messages are received. No?
I think that's fair as well. The tonality and you know, bringing it back to the upfront activations themselves, the way in which you sort of position your message. A lot of media brands are holding upfront events that are sort of packaged with live performances, aspects of events that, you know, might appeal to a more millennial generation buyer or marketer. So I think that's starting to come through. I think we'll probably see even more than that. And what we're also seeing is varied approaches by different media companies to address topics exactly like you're talking about. Some media companies have one event where all of their properties are highlighted. Some have multiple events that go deeper into certain properties. Some take their upfronts on the road and visit media agencies across the country. And so what we're seeing here, I think, is a lot of thought and a lot of positioning being put into how the upfront message is being rolled out. And I think the age and the sensibility of the folks on the receiving end of that, you know, definitely plays a part.
Right. I mean, one of the things that's always a buzzword is authenticity. And certainly authenticity in terms of all of the media experience as consumers. How important is, and what form does it take, does authenticity take in this kind of setting? Is that just about facts, figures, bottom line? Is it about also having some sort of social responsibility and having a brand that's consistent thread, you know, through that you stand for something? How does authenticity function with regard to ad sales, or does it not?
No, I think it absolutely does. I think there, you know, the one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, there are, even though we're in a B2B conversation right now and we're talking about how the media buyers and the end brand marketers are consuming content from media brands during the upfront, they're still consumers of that content just as a viewer would be of a TV show or a digital platform. So I think that authenticity is still important. A lot of the work that we do tries to kind of unpack that, and I, you know, can't go too deep into what we found in that department, but I can tell you that it is you know, up there in importance for sure.
Ooh, so that's those are the goodies you get if you contact you directly and put you in an engagement. All right, note to people, gotta book a meeting. So what would you say are the pain points for the attendees to upfront? What are those things that if we think about advertising as solving somebody, you know, providing the solution to somebody's problem, what is the single, like, how are these people who are making these decisions, how are they motivated? What is the thing that they, you know, if everybody is ultimately about themselves and their self-interest, what are they tasked with by their consumer product clients or their agency superiors? What are they trying? What's the problem they're trying to solve for themselves?
I think it all comes down to attention. And this is something that really transcends the particular channel or platform that an audience is being activated on. It's really about capturing attention, whether that is in a TV scenario, with an investment executive at a TV upfront, whether that is a digital planner at a NewFront event. It's really all about attention. And I think the vast amount of choice that are in front of agencies and brands themselves require a wider lens into the different ways that attention can be garnered against the audiences of interest, and the creative is sort of layered on top of that. So I think it's, you know, it's not only about the content. I think it's layering on the, you know, the attention, which I think sort of used to be called engagement a couple of years ago. That was the big buzzword. But I think really in an age of expanding digital opportunities, expanding social opportunities, live video, et cetera, attention is the one word that I can think of that sort of transcends all of the tools in the toolbox that are available to agencies and brands. So I think that's really what the goal is at the end of the day.
Well, this actually provides a wonderful pivot point. When we had a conversation prior to our conversation here, we had talked a little bit about sports. Do you mind if I pivot and talk a little bit about sports with you?
Let's do it.
Awesome. All right. So football, NFL numbers were down, but college numbers were great. So what's going on there? Why is the one getting more attention than the other? If football... You know, I had read some articles that said, oh, there's just so much football and people are tired of it. But if that's so, why would you see college numbers go up? What's going on?
Oh, I think it's tough to point to one factor. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a complicated question. One top of mind element or dynamic in it, as part of that conversation, or at least as input to that conversation in the work that we see is this notion of fragmentation. When we think about cord cutting, when we think about how sports as a whole, and particularly football, is consumed, I think we need to sort of recalibrate the metrics and the lens by which we sort of quantify the consumption of sports. And I think there's a lot of really good work being put towards that. But I think that's a pretty big input into this conversation that should be probably top of mind, you know, in our industry moving forward. So I think that sort of fragmentation and, you know, capturing all of the ways by which you know, sports, NFL, et cetera, is consumed is really, you know, once that can kind of take its next step in the evolutionary process, I think we're going to see an interesting set of findings come across from, you know, from not only the NFL, but really all sports. I think it's really kind of pervasive.
Looking at like Major League Soccer or forget the U.S. based soccer, you know, Premier League Soccer, and this is this sort of global sport. And do you see that the viewing numbers around that shifting or changing?
Yeah, I think one topic that is really, really fascinating to us in the work that we do for a few of our clients is the notion of international consumption of whether it's a U.S. based league. The NBA is doing a few phenomenal things overseas, for example, or whether it's a non-U.S. based league like Premier League, which is on TV, aired here through NBC Sports. It's really the notion of allowing the power of digital and of live to translate into consumption of these sports, regardless of geography and regardless of language and regardless of other types of content available. The notion of globalization with respect to media, I think, is going to, over the next 5 years, when we think about, you know, predicting down the road, I think that is going to be extremely powerful in advancing a lot of the different leagues, properties that carry those leagues, et cetera.
Yeah. What sport do you think has the most growth potential for audience in the U.S.?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to pick one out. I don't want to offend anyone here.
Okay, I'll let you know.
I'll hold off on that one for now. Maybe the next time I come on, we can unpack that a little bit.
But maybe you'll tell me, because I know you have an opinion. You're just not going to say. That's okay. Anyway, thank you so much again. It's been really fun.
This has been awesome, Gabrielle. I really appreciate it.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who have helped bring the program to life. First, my friend Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media, and a big thank you to our guest, Jamie Stenziano. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week right here on Up Next.